Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
All right. Okay. It's not AT&T, is it? Can you hear me now? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for just always being faithful and always being true and always being there. And we just give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, just speak through me this morning. Amen. Amen. I've been really I never worry about what to preach because there are 66 books. And every word in it's life. So there, as long as you preach the word, you can't go wrong, right? And so there's so much there to preach, but sometimes God puts stuff on your heart, and then sometimes God changes it. You know how well organized I am. I'm like, lay ahead. But he put some scriptures in my heart, and I want to share them with you because I think it's real important. And talking about faith, Pastor Moses, thank you for last week. Phenomenal. He's a great preacher, isn't he? Yeah, we appreciate you, Pastor Moses. And Pastor Wayne filled in for me the other day. He's a great preacher, too. Like, I'm surrounded by great preachers. So, the scripture come up in my heart, and it's Isaiah 60, verse 16. And it says this: "You will drink the milk of the nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold, the silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in the place of stones." And then it says this: "I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler." Now, think about what he's saying right there. That's really, really big because they're in captivity. And they didn't have hope. And they didn't know how they were going to get through. And they were tired of everything they're going through. And God says, "You know what? I'm still your God. I'm still in control. I'm still the one who runs and creates the universe. And it doesn't matter what it looks like or how you feel. I'm still God." And it's good for them to know. And he said, "In fact, I know plans that I have for you." And he said, "They're really bad plans." You're in trouble, boy. Right? You know, I was remembering a story when I was a little kid. If I saw it on TV, I thought I could do it. Anybody else think that? So that's why my mom and dad wouldn't let me watch Superman. And it's because I watched the Dukes of Hazzard. And my mom, they got this brand new station wagon. And we had this little porch that was, it was only like 8-9 feet tall, right? Didn't seem like that big. But it went right in front of our house. And then we had our house. And so I saw my mom driving in, and they had just bought this station wagon. And this is like 1979, 1980, you know, I was 9 or 10 years old, you know. And Dukes of Hazzard hadn't been out very long then. And they'd always jump off of buildings on the cars. And so my mom's pulling up, right? And she's pulling up, and as she's pulling up, I'm like, "Hey, Mom, watch this." And you know what I did? I dove and landed like this, like flat out like a cat, you know, just boom, right on the hood, bounced, flipped off, did a somersault, and my mom runs over. "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Mom, I can't breathe because it knocked the breath out of me." She goes, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'm all right." She said, "Good, because I'm going to kill you." And I was like, "You're going to kill me. Why are you going to kill me?" Because, like, it's It don't make any sense. Anybody ever do that to your kids? Right? And so, you know what's so cool? I didn't even dent that station wagon. Like, they made cars back then, I'm telling you. Right? I thought she was going to kill me because of the car, but apparently she's like, was worried about me. Imagine, right? So they banned me from Superman. They banned me from anything that they thought I might try because, you know, it might kill me, right? So always not being the smartest tool in the shed, right? But always been willing to try. And that'll get you a long ways. It's got me a long ways in my life when you have to crawl on a colt. You're not sure how it's going to go about. It's got me in life when you have to step into a situation you're not sure about. Whether it's in your life or marriage or with horses or no matter what it is. So even the things that we think are negative, right, can turn into a gift and a positive, right? I didn't die. I'm here, obviously, right? And my mom didn't really kill me, right? But here he's saying, instead of bronze, he's like, I'm going to bring you gold. Now, what does gold represent? Represents righteousness, right? And silver, what is silver? It's redemption in place of iron. What do you make chains out of? They say, I'm going to put you in the iron, say if you're a slave or you're a prisoner, right? Well, you're going into the irons. What? Because they become it holds you. It's fastened. He's like, you know what? You're going to have silver. Like, it wouldn't work too good to have silver as you're enslaving people, right? Because it's a soft metal, right? So they pick iron. So he's like, I'm breaking the iron off, and I'm going to give you redemption instead of that iron, instead of that thing that comes from the world and comes from the flesh where it's do, rather than being, right? It takes us from doing to being. It takes us from being awful sinners to be in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is called the gospel. And that's really good news when you think about it. Amen. It's the goodness of God that leads us to what? Repentance. To change our mind. To return to that place of grace. Is his goodness, right? So he says, instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold. I'll make you righteous. And redemption in the place of iron, in the place of slavery, in the place of hurt and pain and all that other mumbo jumbo junk, right? Can I say that in here? Okay, good. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. You notice everything that he's doing, he's restoring. And as he's restoring, he's what? It's an upgrade, right? Anybody ever fly? I mean, not like I did off the porch. Not like Superman, right? Anybody ever fly in a plane? As you're flying in the plane, and you go to the counter, and they say, where are you flying in? You're like, I'm going in baggage claim. I'm going in the baggage department. They go, no, you got to go in coach. Well, that's an upgrade from the baggage, where the baggage there, right? And so they say you're from coach. And then, actually, if you pay a little more, you can actually sit in a seat where you're by the door that opens, and they give you more leg room. And you could pay a little more, but guess what? It's an upgrade. But you know, there's this other place on a plane. I have yet to see it. They call it first class, right? And these people have curtains. No one's allowed in there, right? And pretty soon... And they get seated first, right? They get off first. And who knows what happens behind those curtains? But it must be good because they're charging them a lot more than I want to pay to ride on a stinking plane. Although I do consider that as I'm getting nudged by the people next to me, right? But what happens? It's an upgrade. Everything's upgraded. And that's what God's saying. He goes, you're due for an upgrade. I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. God's like, you've been slaves. You've been in captivity, but that is not my intention, and that is not what I planned for you. I was listening to a vlog of a guy, and he's only in his 30s, and he's a multimillionaire, but they asked him, they said, when did you become a multimillionaire? And he said, when I was 16. And they're like, wow. And he goes, yeah, I lost it all by the time I was 18. And they said, that's horrible. And he's like, no, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because he said, I needed to go through that so that I could know how to handle everything in the future. And everything that happened to me propelled me to now I know what to do now. And so what happened? He went through an upgrade, right? No longer, just like it's instead of bronze, it's gold. Instead of silver in the place, and silver instead of iron. Instead of wood, I'll bring you bronze. Instead of iron in place of stones, I will make peace your governor, right? The New Testament says that peace will be what? The umpire of your heart, right? And so we know that, again, that goes back to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. That doesn't mean what you think it means. I'm long-suffering, so this is the fruit of the Spirit. No, that's a different kind. It's a grip. That where you're like, you know what? I'm okay. No matter what's coming along, I got this fortitude. I got this grit that I can go forward and know. But you see the fruit of the Spirit, our gauge going, right? And all of us are perfectly in that gauge at every moment. Right? What? Come on, guys. This is a perfect church. You guys are perfect, right? Woo! Woo! We got one that's honest, right? Completely perfect, right? But
the church is, not me.
Yeah, the church is, yeah. So here we are. We're reading this. Peace is our governor. Do you have peace? Do you feel God's peace? Like, it doesn't matter what's going on around. Do you still have your peace? Have you not lost your confidence? Sometimes you don't have to have confidence in yourself or the situation, but you know that he who began a good work is going to finish it. If your faith is in you, you're going to let yourself down. But if your faith is in him, you're solid, man. That's the rock that you can depend on, right? Because it's never been just about us, but it's a love story. It's about him and us becoming one, right? And so that's what's so awesome about it. We learn that we can trust him. We learn that we can depend on him. We learn that we have hope, and then we can breathe, right? You ever work these colts, and they'll be so scared, and then I'll just take the time, work them. If they want to, they're like, I want to run. I got to get away. And I'm like, go ahead, buddy. I can hang it in here. It's a round pin. You're not going to get very far. You're just going to go like this. I'm like, run. Have fun. And they stop. They're like, why do you want me to run? I don't think I should do what you want me to do. So they come over and they stand there, right? Pretty soon you put the saddle on. And they're like, I got to run, buck. I'm like, okay, you want to run a buck? I'll make it. Run a buck. They run, buck. Then pretty soon I'm like, are you done? Most of my colts now don't even buck when I saddle them. But they used to because I was stupid, right? They did. I just like, go ahead. And they're like, why am I bucking? This is stupid. And then pretty soon they start saying, you know what? I think it's okay to be with you. You know what? I've been scared and I've been afraid and I haven't had a lot of hope. But you know what? I know that as long as I come to the center, to the place where you are, everything's going to work out. And I can have peace. And you'll literally see them. Like they'll take a breath. They'll go, A prey animal, when they're on the run, will not take a breath. They breathe, but not like a relax. And they breathe out and they just rest. And there's a trust that comes over them, and there's a peace that passes all of their understanding. That's what he's saying. That peace, it's going to be your governor. You may not understand what the saddle is. You may not understand why this dude's crawling up on your back. You may not understand all these things going on, but there's a peace that comes because you know and you have a relationship. And that's where our hope is built. I've seen other guys come in, by golly, I'm going to get on you. And they throw the saddle on and those horses start bucking and they get into the fight and flight mode. And guess where they're at? The whole time, fight and flight. They're like, look, I saddled without the horse bucking. And I'm like, move its feet. See what happens. Move its feet. You know what happens? It's fun to watch. Right? It's really fun to watch, especially because it's not me doing it, right? I want to get on there. Watch this. Why? Because that horse has got no trust. It's got no relationship. It's being forced on them. And that's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion forces it on you. Relationship invites you in and covers you. Amen? And so we can trust God, and we can trust that peace, and we can trust that He is with us, that He is in us, and that He is for us because of that peace. Now, we think of peace, we think of no war, right? Or we think of peace, oh, okay, I can rest. But the reason that you can have no war and the reason that you can rest is because of the word shalom, which means everything you're ever going to need. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Whoa, that's what governs your life. God's peace, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. You have everything you're ever going to need. But there's a, get to the New Testament, it talks about another, it actually talks about an Old Testament too. But we have peace, and peace isn't just a thing, but it's a person, and His name is Jesus. The Bible says that He is our peace that breaks down every wall. What walls are you facing? What things are scaring you? What looks impossible to you? You know where you're going to find the peace in the situation? In Jesus. He just doesn't bring you peace, but He is peace. And the Bible says that He's a Prince of Peace. You know what it means? You ever hear of Roy Rogers? You know what they call him? The King of the Cowboys. Right? Anybody ever hear of Elvis? Right? Someday I'm going to find him, because I think he's still alive. Right? You know what they call Elvis? The King of Rock and Roll. Anybody out here? Michael Jackson? Beat it. Beat it. Anybody hear of him?
Yeah.
What do they call him?
The King of Pop.
The King of Pop, right? He must have drank a lot of soda to get that title. I just couldn't figure out why they would call him the King of Pop. But anytime they call him a king of something, do you know what that means? They're really good at it. They're really good at it. Like maybe the best ever. And they said that Jesus is a King of Kings. He's a King of Peace. And He's a King of your heart and mine. That's good news, right? For me, it's good news. Maybe for some of you, you aren't. It ain't. It aren't. Excuse me. Oh. He says, I will make peace your governor, and righteousness your ruler. Now, is he saying, is it your ruler? Like anybody go to a school, they made you have Kleenexes, crayons, a big chief tablet. Am I the only one who ever had that? And a ruler, the 64 crayon thing. Like, I never got those till I was in, like, fourth grade because my mom and dad couldn't afford it. But I'd see these kids come out, and there was, like, 300. It was, like, this little bitty canister or toolbox. And they come out, and they had every color in the book, right? And so I had this little bitty 12. And I was like, you know what? I can make colors out of colors. Look at me. You ain't creative enough, right? So it was a blessing, but we also have these rulers, right? So is it about righteousness, our ruler? Is that what he means? That's what it says. You know what? If it says it in the Bible, that's what it says, and I'm standing on the Word of God. Okay? So in a way, it is what we're measured by. No longer by what we do, but now we're measured by the righteousness that what he done. Or the ruler, like the king, right? Are you ruled? Like, we're not ruled in America, right? We're a republic, right? But there are some countries where they have a dictator. They have a ruler. I was just talking to someone the other day. I did real good in American history. I remember studying that one guy who was a ruler. His name was John Lennon. And I think they had a lot of trouble with Beatles in Russia back then, right? And then that Armstrong guy, right, that walked on Mars. You guys remember that? No, that wasn't in history. No, but so you got the rulers. They're in charge, like Pharaoh, like the king, like the dictators, right? But here they are. They're dictating and telling you what you're ruled by. That and are we ruled by our flesh? Not in God's kingdom. We're ruled by His righteousness. We're not ruled by sin. Not necessarily as in sins, because all sin and miss the glory of God, but sin as in sin in whole, right? Which comes to imputation, right? No longer are we sin imputed on us, but it's the righteousness. Hold on, I got to show you guys this while I'm here. You guys know there's four imputations? Can you guys see it? Okay. Ooh, that's funky moving right now. Number one, it was Adam's. How come Adam gets all the blame for that, by the way? He's the first one. Okay. Adam's sin to man. What was the root of all sin? Unbelief. Hath God said? Right? So it starts with... That's not it. Excuse me. Unbelief. Then, two, it was man's sin... to anybody know where sin went to? You know where sin was imputed to? Jesus. See how that goes? Three. Jesus, the sin was imputed. This is when you got a cold. Actually, you don't even need a cold for me to talk like this, right? Sin imputed from sin to Adam, from Adam to man, from man to Jesus, and from Jesus, you know what Jesus did? He took all the sin. All the sin. Now, in Romans, I think it's like 47 times, it says harmatia, and it doesn't mean sins, like as in we're sinning, but it means the imputed sin, like as in complete sin. And what did it come from? Unbelief. When Adam didn't believe God. Right? They went from eating from the tree of the of life to eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what that brought? Sin. It brought death. Right? And that all that death come to man. Right? And then when Jesus come, man sinned, went to Jesus, and then when Jesus took it all, I can't write, can I? I don't even know what I was writing. All the sin. Okay. It's better than that. All the sin. Sickness. That's everything. Sickness, loss, poverty, hurts, all your pains, everything that is not from Him, everything that's not from peace, Jesus died for it so He could become our peace. Right? So you got Adam going to man. Man's was imputed to Jesus, and then Jesus's was imputed to who? He didn't impute sin. He took care of sin and imputed something else. You know what that would be called? Righteousness. We'll call it spelling test. I feel like I'm in school. Righteousness. He took all of our sins. Now, did Jesus become unrighteous? Did Jesus sin? No, he is perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, and yet he took all our sins, and sin in general upon himself. Let me put all of it. You know what? I think you forgot this one thing. I did honk at a Prius this morning, and God said, I forgot that one. Is it? All the sin. You know what that means? I mean, he took it all. It's all gone. Every bit of it. All sin. All the sins that come in sin. And gave us righteousness. So it became from Jesus' sin, righteousness. You'll figure it out. Man, righteousness, you know what I'm saying? Righteousness, I ain't writing that much. Whoop. To man. Now that means ladies too, by the way. Right? That's pretty good news.
Yes.
Right? So do you know what that did for us? I don't knock this over. I'm doing good this morning, ain't I? Oh. There we go. So what does that do? It reconciled us. Not only did it reconcile us, but it reconciled everyone and everything in the universe. That's pretty powerful. He reconciled everything to him. Now, Pastor James, does that mean everybody's saved? Technically, everything has been paid for. So it's like me giving you a check for $1 million. And there's way more than $1 million in the bank. You can walk around with that check forever. And you can go stay in a cardboard box on the street. In fact, there's a story about this homeless man, and he found a box. And for 30-some years, he carried this box around with him. It was heavy, and he used it because it was easy to sit on. One day someone said, "Hey, why don't you open that box and see what it's in?" Because I never thought of that. So he did. He opened the box, and you know what was in the box? Gold bars. Millions of dollars worth of gold bars. You know what he did for years? He just carried it around with him and sat on it. If you don't cash that check, even though you've been given that check and it's been paid for, you won't eat the fruit of that check. That's what we call salvation. Are you saved already? You're reconciled already. He's reconciled all things to you, but you know what God does? He gives you a choice. You want to choose him? You got the check. It's made out in your name. All you got to do is take it to the bank. And see, you're thinking you're poor, walking around like that dude with his box of gold, and the whole time, you're forgiven, and you're righteous, and you're whole. But you know what's stopping you? The same thing that made Adam and Eve fall in the first place. Unbelief. Because you're believing the accuser rather than believing God. Who are you going to believe? Who do you say that Jesus is? Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters. It's him. He reconciled everything. When you cash that check, you've been redeemed. So if you get a token, what do they say? Once you bring it back and turn it in, then what is it? It's redeemed. That's what he's saying. Just believe me. Just trust me. I've already died for you. There is no imputation or impartation or any other M's that will keep you from me or from my promises. And the only thing that's required is belief. You're like, "Well, I don't believe. What am I going to do?" Well, there's a dude in the Bible. His son was demon-possessed, right? And he came to Jesus, and he's like, "Can you heal my son?" And Jesus, if you believe, you can. And you know what he said? "I believe, but help my unbelief, my disbelief." And you know what Jesus did? He said, "You sorry sucker. I said you have to believe. And you're telling me you have unbelief? You tell me there's parts of you that don't believe me?" So, go away, dude. He didn't say that. What did he do? He healed the boy. You know what? He had enough faith. The fact that he had enough faith to bring him to Jesus says that he believed. The fact that you got out of bed this morning, put your pants on and your clothes on or your dress on or whatever, and you drove to church, tells me that you believe in him. The fact that you turned on this video and are listening to me tells me that you believe enough to turn it on. And you don't think you have any faith. I want to tell you something. God says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he's already reconciled you. All you got to do is surrender and say, hey, here's my token. I cash this in and I'll take everything that you have. I believe to help my unbelief. Right? Where was I at? Reconcile, redeem. Redeemed and restored. You know what it means to restore something? It means that when you buy something at Costco and it don't fit, you take it back to the store. So you've restored it? No? That's not what that means. I'm going to talk to someone because that's what they told me that meant. No. So anybody like cars?
Yes.
You see this car and it's all beat up and it's broken and it's tore up and it doesn't look like there's nothing to it. I like watching these kids, they'll get these supercars and they're all wrecked. And like they couldn't afford to buy the cars other than they're wrecked. And they'll restore them. You know what they do? Is that they'll fix them up. And when they get done, do you know what? They have to add their ads on the car and make it just like they want. And a lot of times, it looks better than the original. It's upgraded. It's restored. And that's what restored means. It means to reestablish something to its original condition. When something is restored, it always grows, multiplies, or improves so that its final condition is superior to its original state. Isn't that good news? You're like, well, Pastor James, there's no scriptures on restoration in the Bible. Are you nuts? This is a book of restoration. This is a book of hope. This is a book of Jesus taking sin and tearing sin apart. Not just your sins, but sin in total. Yes. And becoming our righteousness. Changing us from do-do-do-do's being doo-doo birds. Anybody see those doo-doo birds? Is that what they call them? Dodos. If you do-do, you're a dodo. See? Kind of works. Changing us from that to the righteousness of God. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. So now we're not trying to do, we're being. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My righteousness doesn't come from what I do. My righteousness comes from what he done. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know what that does? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why his yoke's easy? Because he stepped up under that cross.
Yes.
Just like an ox carrying that yoke. And he goes, watch this, boys. I'll take that burden. I'll take that sickness. I'll take all of that stuff and I'll trade it for my righteousness. And with my righteousness, guess what comes with it? My peace. And my goodness. And my love. And everything that you'll ever need, not just in this life, but in eternity. That's pretty cool when you think of it like that. When something is restored, it always grows, multiplies, or improves so that its final condition is superior to its original. You know what? That might be even better news than Geico's. Right? Instead of insurance and saving 15%, we're getting assurance. See, everybody's looking for fire insurance. He already took care of that. You're not looking for fire insurance. What you need is assurance. resting assured that you are everything that he says you are because of his finished work, not because of what you do. And that's the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Just lift everybody up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.